Audio of the General Council meeting will be recorded, will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask elected members if they foresee any conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. Councillor Hull.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, my daughter goes to CV High.
Not a conflict, I don't think we'll record it as such. Thank you. Not a conflict in the sense that your daughter would therefore be part of a substantial body of electors.
Through the chair.
Ms. McKenzie.
It's a specific exclusion within the Act, which basically states that if you are a parent of a child at a school, it doesn't create a conflict of interest.
That's what I meant to say. Thanks, Ms. McKenzie.
Mr. Mayor,
yes?
To the other angle of it is, of course, that if the council decides not to proceed, there could be.
Well,
there could be a reflection on my daughter by virtue of me being on council.
You're not insisting then on recording any conflict of interest, or are you?
I feel more comfortable, you know, when in doubt, step out, if you know what I mean.
Sure. I'm looking for someone to move confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Councillor Masika, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. In respect of the communication reports, Mr. Skull, did you want to add anything to your report?
Thank you, Chair. My speaker's not working. Apologies. There's an omission on my communication report that I actually met with Stephen Campbell from Croatian Investments with the Mayor. He's put it in his report, but mine, by mistake, wasn't in there. But just to declare that I did meet with him following the ice rinks debate.
So I would suggest it's clearly just an administrative issue in moving acceptance of the reports. Perhaps we can do it with that amendment, that addition. Moved, Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Schilling. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Then going to deputations, if people want to refer to it, on page 30 of the agenda, we have Gemma Weedle to talk about a climate change emergency. So please come forward. And I should just refer Ms. Weedle to a motion that's on the agenda as well. She's probably already seen it. But on page 258, there is something. So I'm not sure if... 256, but Ms. Weedle, I'm not sure if you've looked at the climate change responses that are listed there on pages 258, 259, but if you have, certainly in your 5 minutes, you're welcome to comment upon them. So your time starts now. If you leave time at the end, there'll be time for questions from elected members. Thank you.
Okay, good evening, Mayor and Councillors. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. And thank you to the concerned community members who have come along tonight as well to show their support and concern around this issue. I will be speaking in regards to the motion that is foreshadowed later being put forward by Councillor Bruce Hull around a climate emergency. So my name's Gemma Weedle. I'm a Marion Council resident. I live in Hallett Cove with my partner. And my biggest concern is climate change and the impact it's going to have locally and globally. I'd like to acknowledge the excellent work the Council is already doing in this area and for demonstrating climate leadership, particularly with the climate change policy, the Resilient South Partnership, the work around energy efficiency and renewables, coastal climate change management, just to name a few. I think these are excellent initiatives and it makes Marion really well placed to take the logical next step of declaring a climate emergency and being among the first councils in South Australia to do so. The IPCC special report that was released quite recently was really a wake-up call, I think, indicating that we all need to do more and quickly. It showed that we're on track for almost 4 degrees of warming globally, and it showed that we need to keep to 1.5 degrees to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. Scientists recognise that the maximum safe level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is 350 parts per million, but concerningly, levels are already well over 400 parts per million. So climate change is here now. Human activity, through the burning of fossil fuels largely, has already resulted in the planet being 1 degree warmer on average. And just as a result of this, we're seeing devastating impacts across the planet already. Here in Australia, over the summer, most recently, we've seen devastating floods, bushfires, species loss, and record-breaking heat waves. The Bureau of Meteorology announced that January was the hottest month in history in Australia, and here in Adelaide it broke the record for the hottest temperature in any capital city on that sweltering 47 degree day that I'm sure we all remember. Here in Marion Council, climate change will mean more extreme heat waves, increased bushfire danger, reduced rainfall but increased flood risk, sea level rise in coastal suburbs like my home of Hallett Cove, coastal erosion and storm surges. Councillors, there is no doubt that this is a climate emergency. An emergency scale crisis demands emergency style solutions that match the scale and the urgency and the speed required. Unfortunately, we no longer have the luxury of taking small incremental steps in this field. And in fact, 80% of the fossil fuels reserves need to stay in the ground for us to have a chance of staying below 2 degrees of warming. And we need to urgently transition towards 100% renewable energy. But we can't start implementing these needed solutions until we tell the truth about the scale and the urgency of the problem. And this takes courage and leadership and is absolutely necessary. I'm asking Marion Council tonight to continue its leadership in this field, but not asking it to do something unprecedented. Over 400 councils globally have already passed similar motions declaring a climate emergency, including 12 so far in Australia. In fact, tonight, Adelaide City Council, Adelaide Hills Council and the Light Regional Council all have similar motions on their agenda. A climate emergency declaration issued by a body and authority, such as a local council or a government, can be a really powerful catalyst for community-wide action if it's paired with a clear action plan. The current global wave of local councils declaring a climate emergency is providing, I think, an element of hope and an action pathway that can channel the energy and focus and resources of their communities to really address the climate crisis. So by passing this motion, you would be setting a powerful example, empowering your community to act, and as well as encouraging other councils to follow suit. The other week, thousands of students, of high school students, took to the streets of Adelaide demanding that adults step up and take stronger action on climate change for the sake of their future. They joined 150,000 around Australia and 1.6 million globally, making this the biggest day of action, of climate action in history. So these kids have learned about the climate science in school, they're seeing the extreme weather, but the government action from governments just isn't matching up with the urgency of the problem. Local councils declaring a climate emergency and committing to action is giving them and everyone else a ray of hope. So if you have children or grandchildren tonight, I would please encourage you to vote with them in mind when you vote on this motion. I'll just finish up quickly with a quote and then we can maybe have time for questions. What a quote from Swedish climate striker Greta Thunberg. She's 16 years old. Adults keep saying, we owe it to the young people to give them hope. But I don't want your hope. I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. And then I want you to act. I want you to act as if you would in a crisis. I want you to act as if our house is on fire, because it is.
Thank you. Well, your 5 minutes is up, so we'll move to the next deputation regarding the Bandon Terrace upgrade. Please come forward. We've got Ms. Liddy and Ms. Raymond. So again, you have 5 minutes. If you leave a bit of time at the end, then members will have the opportunity to ask questions, but otherwise the time is yours. Thank you.
opportunity to address Council about our concerns regarding the Bandon Terrace upgrade. Is it not on? Can you hear me? The south eastern area of Bandon Terrace Reserve, as shown in the photo over here, is the gateway to Merino Beach and has massive appeal. We are here tonight to object to Marion Council's plan to remove all of the lawn at the southeastern end of the park and conduct a trial to replace it with native grasses. The lawn area is a space that is well used, very much loved, enjoyed and highly valued by our community. It's a focal point for our community and provides an alternative space apart from the playground zone. This area provides a significant open play space for all ages, is a pleasant area to exercise our dogs, and provides a soft landing when playing vigorous and active games. The Council's proposed plan does not provide anywhere to sit in the shade under a tree, due to garden beds and underplantings planned for all trees in the park. When we were conducting our petition, many residents made comments about the cooling effect of the lawn during the heat of summer and the positive calming effect on the mental health of people in our community. Our park has enormous visual appeal and is a valuable asset which has been an incentive for many residents to buy houses in this area. We are concerned that the removal of the lawn area will affect the values of our home. And can we have a change of... Oh, good.
This is a photo of native grasses adjacent to the Merino Community Garden in Newland Avenue. It shows that during summer, the stand of native grasses hay off and become semi-dormant, resulting in a dry and unusable space. This is what we can expect next summer in place of the green, usable space that we currently have. The Rhytidosperma species, wallaby grass, proposed for planting in the trial are clumping perennial plants. Seedling vigour is poor and germination is slow, so weed control will be required. This would most likely mean boom spraying herbicide, which the community is not keen on. Boom spraying would also most likely be required post-germination if plant density is low, as wallaby grass could easily be out-completed by annual and broadleaf weeds. This is something that has not been required in our park in recent years, as the stand of kokuyu is thick and out-competing of most weeds. A stand of dried native grasses in summer, in place of the green and healthy kakuyu we currently have, will not provide the same cooling effect as the kakuyu, nor will the amenity value be what it is currently for our community. For a stand of native grasses to remain healthy, seed and recruit seedling for competition with weeds, and offer a cooling effect, it will need to be irrigated during summer, much the same as kakuyu. Our community recommends that if Council wishes to trial the use of native grasses in large-scale landscaping, that it does so in an area where there is no reduction for the community in green space and current amenity. The northwestern end of Bandon Terrace Reserve could be an alternative location to conduct a native grass trial, as this area is sadly neglected, bare and underutilised. We are also requesting more information from Council and an opportunity for community involvement in the planning of any native grass trial that may proceed in Bandon Terrace Reserve. Specifically, how long will the trial period be? How will it be monitored? And what will be considered a successful trial? If it is unsuccessful, we also seek a commitment from Council that it will be reinstated. Of 151 residents that we spoke to, 145 did not understand the southeastern lawn area was being replaced with native grasses. Our community has a sense of pride and passion to retain the southeastern lawn. We request that Council do not remove the lawn at the southeastern end of Bandon Terrace Reserve, as this is a very important area to us. Thank you.
Thanks very much, and that concludes your 5 minutes, so thank you for that. And I can let you know that quite shortly will come to the formal receipt of the petition regarding Bandon Terrace Reserve in the agenda. But let's, for the moment, just keep going through it as it is. We have two petitions. So the first one in relation to Marion Cultural Centre. I can advise members there was some curiosity over the breadth, if you like, of the petitioners, and rounding it up, about 25% are the City of Marion residents, just for your information. So normally we would simply note the petition, but there is a relevant council motion that's already dealt with the matter, so staff have suggested a slight variation there. So would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Hull? So, do you wish to speak to that?
Yes, just quickly, Mr. Mayor. Just in reference to your comments that you made about this building, it's something that the council should have actually learnt from that process we went through before the election, and that is that this building is valued by people near and far. It's recognised as an iconic building by people that live locally, and even the ones that didn't really like it as a structure, as an architectural structure, have grown to actually and have warmed to the building to actually value it. It's something they've become accustomed to, and they've actually got some relationship with. And it actually is in many publications. It's in books for architects, and that's distributed all around the world. And that's why you would have found comments from St. Louis and elsewhere, because this building is recognised near and far. So that explains that away. But it was a substantial contribution from the local community. Nobody can take that away from them at all. And it was quite a vigorous and active campaign headed up by people like Carol Whitelock and Peter Gers and other significant people around the local area. So for the group that actually organised that campaign, they actually do live on, and they've actually formally formed a group called the Friends of the Marion Cultural Centre, and I think that's a good thing. I think that the building that we had before this whole episode is now valued more than it was before and recognised more than it was before, and to the point where there's actually a friends group now. So I think we've come out the other end. Some say maybe the whole process was unnecessary, but nevertheless we've come out the other end with a better relationship and a better understanding of the building by our community.
Seconded, Councillor Valescu. Did you wish to speak?
Look, I also want to thank the people that put the petition together. It is a valued facility. I am a big supporter of the arts, and I think that creates a hub for the arts. But I think also what I'm looking forward to is this group actually encouraging use of the site and doing what they can to actually lead people here. And also I'd like to recognise what staff have done about the site as well. There's a lot more activity there. And this petition was handed over to the council during an event. People were lining up to see a Led Zeppelin cover band as part of the fringe. So it was, you know, it actually shows the vibrancy and the breadth of activity that's available there. So I think we have learnt a lot as a council as far as this process goes. I don't think there was anything untoward as far as the steps that we took with this. Not, I didn't support us proceeding in any way, but I'm not going to sit there and criticise, because we didn't know the impact of the processes, and we'll change our processes at that time. And I think that's one thing you've got to recognise in government, is when you make a mistake in your process and you improve that. And also recognise that when you're looking at a community facility, there's a lot of angst, and people not knowing creates a big problem. And I guess on behalf of council, you know, like I I apologise to people of how they felt and that period of not knowing and those involved. I guess that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Anyone speaking against or amending? Then I'll simply put the vote. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So on to the petition regarding the Bandon Terrace Reserve upgrade. Members, two things to note here, that the petitioners seek a public meeting prior to further spraying of green areas, and the words recommended by staff are that a public meeting be held in early April. Now, those two things aren't the same, so I just want to clarify that with staff. And the other thing that I find a bit disturbing is the suggestion in the deputation that there hasn't been consultation about some of these changes. Now, I know that there was a council consultation process, but I think that needs to be explored a bit. So I'd ask Ms. Masterman, perhaps, who's one of our open space managers, to just take us through what happened there with specific reference to the lawn versus native grass issue. Thank you.
Through the Mayor, Council staff undertook a consultation last year in relation to the implementation of the Natural Landscape Design Guidelines at Bandon Terrace Reserve. That consultation, we prepared a glossy brochure. We were trying to capture the attention of the community as much as possible and really highlight what was happening within that reserve. Within it, we spoke about, provided maps which showed which area would have the native grass trial, which areas would stay as the irrigated kaikuya turf, and detailed a lot of information about why we were undertaking the trial. The feedback from the community was limited. We did do an extensive engagement with it. We promoted the consultation through social media. There was signage placed on site at a number of locations. We did a letter drop to more than 400 people within the area, and we had a survey as well on Making Marion. The survey only received six responses, which was a surprise for us, and of those we received two responses as well through separate emails that came in. Of those responses, four of them were supportive of the plan, and the other four one suggested an alternative species to be considered just in the general planting of the garden beds, and the other three respondents were strongly unsupportive of the plan. With regards to the trial of the grasses within the reserve, at this stage there's no further spraying that's being undertaken. The area that was sprayed out was for only the construction of the playground. The work that's happening to the northwestern end of the reserve has been associated with the stormwater upgrades on Forest Avenue, and we're currently just working on the playground, which is within the middle of the reserve. We've not tendered and commenced the works to implement the natural landscape design guidelines and changing of the grass. The playground contract was only to do some minor alterations to the irrigation system for the playground area.
Well, thank you. Seems to be some differing views about the consultation, but at least residents here tonight can feel some reassurance about the fact there's no continuing spraying, and that if there's a public meeting held in a couple of weeks' time, that things won't have changed substantially in relation to the grasses until then. Is that a question, Councillor Hull? Yes, go ahead.
The spraying is what? Is it glyphosate? Is that what you're using on the grass?
Yes, that is correct.
Right. So are there appropriate measures taken when that's sprayed in terms of drift and...
Through the Mayor? Yes, so the spraying was undertaken in an early morning when there was very low wind across the site, so that we could actually just spray the area and where the civil works were being undertaken.
Just to confirm, Council still has no concerns about the use of that chemical?
Ms. Dixon might answer that.
Through the Chair, it's current practice to use that material. We follow the safety standards with that. So, at this point, that's our process.
Rightio. Let's go to the motion. Councillor Musiki, you had a question?
It's not a question, the Chair, except I want to make a comment.
Would you like to move the motion as printed?
Yes, I'd like to move the motion as printed.
Right.
But I wanted to make some a comment before we proceed with that one, based on the report from the staff and also reading up the report which was provided, that probably this in future, looking up the number of people who signed up the petition is 130. And the people were referred by Sally and Mary is 150. But looking up the survey, it's only 8 people, which is 6% of the total population living there, which is a very small number to go ahead with a project of that size based on this low feedback from just 6% of the population. And you look up those who responded, it's only 4. They said yes, which is 3% of the total number of that. So if that 3% or 6% doesn't represent the entire population who will be the user of the place. Rather, that we need to consider in future. When there's a low return, we need to find ourselves why and how can we improve the feedback before we implement the project.
Thanks, Councillor. I can say perhaps 2 things about that. I did attend one of the open consultation days on site on Bandon Terrace, and my experience that day from talking to local residents was that probably most of the focus was on the playground. That seemed to exercise the imagination of a lot of the people I spoke to. But getting on to the more scientific side of it, I think if you go anywhere, you'll find that generally a 5 to 10% response rate to a mass letterbox drop or consultation is about average. So it doesn't matter if you survey 1 million people or 500 people, if it's on a voluntary basis, you'll very commonly get between 5 and 10%. So I think that would be fairly typical of a lot of our consultations. And in fact, a lot would be less than that. So, it's an opportunity for people to speak up about their concerns. Obviously, there are some. We can't say it's 99% of the community for or against it because of that low response rate. So I take your point, Councillor. So is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, did you wish to speak?
Is to try and help with environmental issues, reduce water use and other climate change issues by revegetation. Ironic that it's on the same night as the other petition or the other deputation. Look, it would be a great opportunity to actually discuss this with the residents, and I appreciate Councillor Masika's comments. I'd like to add that you'll probably find that when we do our annual business plan consultation, we'll probably have less than 10. Usually we have 3 returns from roughly 90,000 residents, and that goes out to the whole of council. So I'm not surprised by the figures we get. But, yeah, I'll second this report and give us an opportunity to discuss options at that site.
Anyone speaking against or amending? Councillor Blescu?
Question? I'm not speaking against. We talk about it being a trial. If the trial goes ahead, how will we gauge its success? And if it's not successful, what would happen? And the photos shown were of the grass dying off in summer. Would that, if that happens, would that be seen as a success if it's green in winter?
Ms. Masterman?
Through the Mayor, we'll be undertaking monitoring of the reserve, just checking the coverage of it and how well it's growing. We will be retaining the existing irrigation system over the reserve to future-proof it, so that will allow us to water the area for establishment. And then also through particularly hot seasons like we have this year, we would be then able to apply water over that reserve during the summer months if we need to keep it green.
Does that answer the question?
Oh.
trial doesn't work. So what are the measures for the trial not to work, and what will happen if it doesn't?
Through the Mayor, if we don't get good coverage across the reserve and it's becoming unfeasible from a maintenance perspective, like we're having to spray too much to keep the weeds at bay, we would then reassess this site. We would then look at hydromulching the site with a kikuyu or similar type of grass again.
So we've got, I had a mover and a seconder. First of all, I'll deal with any questions, if there are questions. Councillor Hull, you've had three questions. Councillor Hutchinson.
Worship, through the Chair to the staff. In the deputation, we were presented with a photograph of what grasses may look like in summer. Is that an accurate depiction?
Ms Masterman.
Through the Mayor, that would be a site where there's no irrigation available. So we have irrigation at this site, so we will be able to actually keep that grass green through the summer. We would just be monitoring how much water we would actually need to apply to maintain that green.
Councillor Hull, I want to give you a fair go. If you're going to be concise, go in for another one.
Just where does the water come from for that irrigation?
It may be a bore, but I'll have to take that on notice and confirm that with you.
Take that question on notice.
Important information for when it comes back.
Very well. Well, clearly there's a chance to have another look with the public meeting that will take place. So, and obviously we'll need to ensure that there's plenty of notice of the time and place of that public meeting during daylight hours, preferably. If no one's speaking against, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour say, or raise your hand. Yep, carried unanimously. Thank you. One more quick item to deal with. On page 153, confirmation of the minutes of the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee meeting. Someone like to move they be accepted? Councillor Schilling. Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson. If there are no comments, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, on our agenda, we go into a series of confidential motions for good reason, and that'll take some time. But because we have interested people in the gallery, councillors, we don't have to, but if you wish, we could bring forward the motion on the emergency. So if people don't object, then, Councillor, do you wish to say something on that?
Yeah, I'd like to stick to the original plan. When we have the deputation from the golf club, we just move straight into the confidential items. I think it would be unfair to change that same principle.
Yes, it certainly has varied at times. So when I seek leave of the meeting and there's any one objection, then what we do is put it to the vote. If anyone would like to move that that matter be brought forward, they can move it, and we'll actually test what members want to do. So, Councillor Hull, as a procedural motion, you're moving that the climate change emergency motion be dealt with next?
Yes, I do, Mr Mayor.
Yep, and you don't, it's a procedural motion, so there's no need to speak to it. Is that seconded? Councillor Vlescu? All right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? I declare that carried. So we'll bring that to the next item on the agenda. So just reminding you, it's page 256, I think. So Councillor Hull, your option to move. I will. I've been provided with an alternate motion. So perhaps...
Point of order, Mr Mayor. I'm not going to tolerate that.
Councillor Hull?
I had put a notice of motion up.
Yes.
And I don't want this messed with at this point. It's quite inappropriate for you to foreshadow alternative motions before I move my notice of motion.
Well, it's actually, as I said, when this issue's come up once before, it's helpful for members to know if there's an alternative means that's being put forward by a member of attaining the same objective.
The Mayor, I have an opinion from the administration about this. I knew it would happen, and I got a gold-clad answer to that.
Let's ask Ms McKenzie for her view on whether the Mayor's permitted to mention alternative motions on the same topic.
Through the Chair, the member moving a motion on notice is entitled to do so and is entitled to speak to the motion. There is nothing within the meeting regulations that stops the Mayor foreshadowing that another member may move an amendment to that motion.
Well, the Councillor has raised a point of order. I overrule the point of order, and I'm going to just refer to the other potential motion, because I've had a chance to look at it, and my view is that it's not out of order. Is that available on the screen? The one in blue. All right. So I've brought it to members' attention. Councillor Hull, it's entirely up to you now to move and speak to your motion. Thank you.
Mr Mayor, can I ask who is going to be the mover of that alternative motion?
Well,
there isn't anybody, is there?
Well, it's Councillor Pfeiffer.
Councillor Pfeiffer? Okay. All right.
And I do reject the insinuation that I would make it up.
Well, there's no name there.
The individual doesn't really matter. It's the issue that matters, I would have thought. Why don't you proceed to speak to your motion?
Right. I'm just looking for a bit of courtesy with this motion, Mr Mayor. That's all I ask.
That's all I ask in the conduct of the meeting as well. Thanks.
That the City of Marion declares that we face a climate emergency that requires urgent action from all Australian cities, that the City of Marion instigate an action plan to immediately reduce carbon emissions as quickly as possible within the zone of the City of Marion and to establish programs to draw down carbon from the Earth's atmosphere. Mr Mayor, I move this way because it all hangs around the fact that it is an emergency. No matter whatever motion you put up, it means that you are not understanding the situation we're actually currently in. We adopted a view that there was climate change happening many years ago, probably two or three terms back. It would be that far back. And I remember this council sent me to a conference in Newcastle in the 1990s, and it was called the Rio Summit. That's how far we go back when we actually acknowledge climate change. Since that time, things have ramped up somewhat, quite a lot, to the point where we now, I believe, have a climate emergency. The Speaker mentioned many things, and I won't repeat them because you're all considered people and you all would have taken note of what that young lady told you, Gemma. And she also repeated what school children are saying around the nation, around the world, because they're starting to be perceptual. They're starting to actually understand that something's not right. And they're right, something is not right, because there's things happening all around the world that's becoming more palpable. In the last 12 months, for example, we had bushfires in northeast Queensland in rainforests that's never burned before. Queensland Fire Service has never seen fire conditions or fires burning in that fuel load. The same in Tasmania, and I was there. I saw beautiful, pristine bushland that hadn't burnt since at least white inhabitants anyway. It's normally snow country, but it was on fire and burning well with horrendous fuel loads. And we've also got the other part of the action, floods and cyclones. We've got two cyclones at the moment up north. And around the world, there's all sorts of things happening. Now, for me, as a father, I want to be able to demonstrate to my children and my children's children that at least I made an effort, that it's on record, that I actually acknowledged there was a problem and it needed swift action. Now, this council's doing a lot, but it's only climate change adaptation mostly. It's not action. Our fleet is still diesels. We've got four hybrids in the fleet only about 3 or 4 weeks ago. That's our gesture. And Melbourne councils are leaps and bounds ahead of us in terms of climate change action, not climate change adaptation, where we're going into a bunker and hoping for the best and keeping our fingers crossed. But we need to demonstrate to our children that we're actually serious about this. Before the election, a lot of you gave undertakings about
your
commitment to this.
Your time is up, Councillor. Is that seconded? I'll just ask for the last time, is that seconded? Councillor Clancy.
In regards to tackling climate change.
Thank you. Is anyone speaking against or amending? Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. I would like to amend, and I think my words have been already put on the screen, if we could go to that. And in doing so, whilst we're preparing for that, I'd like to just say through you to Councillor Hull, it was not my intention that you get to move and second a motion and speak to it before I put up an amendment. So it wasn't my intention that that was on the screen at that point. But I'll speak to the actual motion in a moment. All right. Your Worship, look, climate change is often described as being the challenge of the century, but I strongly believe it's actually the challenge of the millennium. I think Councillor Hull and I are probably coming from very similar perspectives on a lot of what we're saying. It's only minor things that we're varying on here. Your Worship, I believe in great policy over great publicity. I believe in uniting decision makers globally and not dividing them, and I believe in actions over words. Just as the reminder to yourself, Your Worship, in the Chamber, I have an undergraduate and a postgraduate degree in environmental management. I understand climate change because I've studied it. I've spent more than half of my career working in water resource management. I've been on the front line with farming communities during the Millennium Drought, and I've personally drafted long-term climate change strategies for large organisations and corporations. Your Worship, I strongly believe that all levels of government globally need to be taking a significant further action on both mitigating and adapting to climate change. We have to do both. Yes, we do need to mitigate more, but we also need to learn how to adapt a bit as well. Look, we can pat ourselves on the back tonight by moving a motion with nice big language in it. We can do that. Or we can take the hard yards, we can do the hard work, we can strengthen the intent of the motion, and we can actually do the job properly. We can review the good work that we've done to date and in the past. We can understand what has had the best effect in terms of both mitigation and adaptation. We can understand the specific, costed, tangible future actions that we can undertake. We can learn where our limited funds can be spent and spent best. And we can define a way forward that shows leadership and it delivers real results for the benefit of our citizens and the benefit of the whole planet. Your Worship, we are a local government. Yes, we're small. We are acting on climate change. I don't think we're doing enough when we should be doing a hell of a lot more. I refer to the old proverb, you know, we don't inherit the earth from our parents. We do borrow it from our children. And in my opinion, I think that, you know, we have been running up a debt over the course of the last century to our children. I think there's a lot more that unites myself and Councillor Hull than divides it. I just believe that we should be walking the walk a lot more before we actually start talking the talk. Thank you.
Is that motion seconded? Councillor Velescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. I first learned about climate change in 1986. It was called global warming. And what I saw, that's when I saw the emergency. Action needed to be taken on this over 13 years ago. Unfortunately, we are at this space. I think we need to put a motion that is about getting results, having a plan, and not just a plan that kicks the can down the road, but a plan that actually does things. My concern is that there is emergency and doom and gloom fatigue out there. I think there's a lot of people that they hear the worst and they switch off. And I think it's important that the actions we take are more about what's been done as opposed to alarm people. And personally, I am alarmed. You know, people worry about all these issues, worry about electricity prices and things like that, and use that as a barrier to taking action. But, you know, when your food is not available, when, you know, countries are, you have millions of people dispossessed, there's a lot more issues that are going to, you know, hurt the hip pocket and people's security and way of life more than the sacrifices we have to make now. And the sacrifices we have to make now are going to be, the more we put it off, the more they're going to be. And I think we are in a very comfortable position in Australia, and I guess where we are, and we have to sacrifice part of that. And I think with this motion, it talks about what we can do. If we want to take action at those other levels, we can do so as citizens and the like. Another reason I'm not supporting the previous motion is that it gives us responsibility for taking carbon out of the air in our council, but and stopping things that we can't actually control, some of those other businesses, other levels of government. So I think what we can do, instead of pointing the finger, is look in the mirror and see what can we do about this issue, recognise it. We don't trivialise the issue at all, and we're not kicking the can down the road. We're taking action, and we're putting our, we're putting our money where our mouths are. And that's why, members, I implore you to support this motion.
So, just to be clear, you're seconding the amendment?
Yes.
Yes. So, under our procedures, when there's an amendment moved and seconded, we put that to the vote before continuing debate on the original motion. So, I'll put the amendment moved by Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The amendment is carried, so that is now the issue that we're dealing with. Does anyone want to speak against that, that hasn't already spoken in the debate? If not, then we go back to the mover of the original motion to close the debate. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, this highlights the ludicrous situation we have in this place where you put forward a motion and then there's amendment and then you actually close the debate when you've got no bloody hope of getting your motion through at all. This is a great case in question where a number of us, I think, have already realised that there's a problem with our system. But nevertheless, what this motion does and what my motion does are quite different. This is actually more of the same. This is a statement of more of the same, because it says undertakes a review of climate change mitigation and adaptation actions. Nothing to do with stopping climate change. Nothing to do, you know, and the issue of, oh, we're expecting to pull carbon out of the air. Well, yes, we can do that. We can actually do a lot of carbon. The word always escapes me. Sequestration, that's right. By putting mulching and doing all sorts of things like that. So we can do that, Councillor Blesky, quite easily. But the point is, we shouldn't be putting the carbon into the air in the first place. So down at the depot, we could actually have a field day down there with how we can look at our fleet, which is belching out diesel fumes, and the mayor's car belching out diesel fumes all the time. We can do a lot of things by stopping the carbon going into the atmosphere in the first place, as well as drawing down on the carbon. And other councils around Australia are already doing that. So this is a motion about the status quo. It's not facing up to it at all, I'm sorry. This motion does not face up to the issue. It's a feel-good motion that doesn't bind us. And this is the thing that I've picked up in here. You don't want commitment. You don't want to have the responsibility of living up to expectations that our community wants you to do. You don't want to meet your pre-election commitments of saying, I'm going to actually act on climate change.
There's a point of order, Councillor Blesky.
Are the comments addressed to the chair, or are they addressed to the individuals? Well, I was named, we're talking about you. I just want a question.
I'll uphold the point of order because it was just becoming borderline as a personal comment about other elected members, and that's not appropriate. One can just stick to the issues. That's what you need to do, Councillor Hull. Thank you.
Well, Councillor Blesky made a comment.
Carry on.
We can't draw down carbon, and I was just making that.
Actually, you weren't just doing that, but please, yeah. I've made the point's been taken. Please carry on.
Your Worship, I wasn't actually.
No, order. I think what happened there was a point of order. I upheld the point of order and reinforced that to the Speaker. Now the Speaker has the right to continue. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Mayor, this is a night that's going to reflect poorly on this council, I think, because of the lack of response. The lack, like, you know, are we all living under a rock? You know, that's my view. Are we living under a rock and we aren't picking up on it? Or is it in denial? Are we in denial? You know, and I really think the thing that you're scared of the most is commitment. That, you know, if we
order,
actually go...
Order. Now, that is out of order. Now, you've been warned to depersonalise the issue, deal with the issues, not refer to other people around the chamber.
I never mentioned one name.
That's not the point. Please continue if you wish to talk about the issues.
Well,
thanks.
Mr Mayor, I stand by what I say. I'm sorry, but it does demonstrate a lack of commitment, and I'm sure people in the gallery would agree with me.
Councillor Pfeiffer.
It's blatantly not true. It's showing that we're doing some homework before we're committing.
It is... I won't uphold the point of order because it's really a debating point, but Councillor Hull, again, to talk about people's lack of commitment is actually getting into the personal, not the issue. If you want to talk about the need to do more, talk about that. You're welcome to. Go ahead. Right, I'll put the motion as amended. Those in favour? Those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. So now we turn into some confidential matters. Members of the gallery, thank you for coming along. And you know it's a criminal offence to start disrupting a meeting, so by all means leave quietly, I would recommend. The motion actually called for mitigation and adaptation measures, costed recommendations. If we were going to move forward, albeit with an emergency, that's what we would need to do anyway. So that does look like a commitment to action from where I sit. This is just comments from the chair while people are vacating the gallery. Do you want to be thrown out, Councillor? Well, I'll take that as a yes, but I may not give you the satisfaction just yet. So, we're on page... There's a cover report dealing with just the confidentiality issue, page 161. This is to do with the confidential minutes of the Infrastructure Committee. Someone want to move that we go into confidence? Councillor Hutchinson, seconded. Councillor Schilling, all those in favour? It's carried. So I think there's a council officer there that'll have to leave the room. There's no point peacemaking, Councillor Bilescu, at a time like this, I'm afraid. Just let things cool down. I note that Councillor Hull made a disrespectful gesture towards you. And you've politely pointed out to him that it's inappropriate, so I accept that. The motion was passed. We've got... on page 167, there's another cover report seeking confidentiality. Does someone wish to move? We go into confidence. Councillor Schilling, seconded. Councillor Telfer, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. So once again, we close the doors, apart from those people named in the motion regarding Seaview High School. Sorry, it was Coastal Walkway. I called the wrong motion on. So it was on... We just moved the motion on page 161. So we've got Mr Ricketts, Mr Clark, Mr O'Hanlon, Mr Allen, Ms Hayward, Ms Moritz, etc. That was carried unanimously. So now we're dealing with... Okay, somebody give me a page number. We've already dealt with the golf club. It's not that one. Somebody give me a page number, please. I was on 167, but it's not. No, it's further back. 165, which to me is two pages, is about 20 pages before 167. Okay, that's clear. I better have that vote again because it was a bit unclear. There was a lack of understanding in the room. Really, it was the mayor. But page 165, the next item on the agenda, the Coastal Walkway Progress Report, confidential appendix. The confidentiality clause is moved by Councillor Crossland, seconded by Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. The motion is only to note the information. We go into confidence now. Seaview High School Sports Facilities Partnership, confidential item. Does anyone want to move that we go into confidence? Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. I'll turn the microphone off and we'll discuss the item. We're in open session. Ms. Hayward, can you help with that? Whether Ascot Park Kindergarten was the subject of a request for landlord consent earlier this council term? This is for sand pit and storage sheds.
Yeah, I think the previous one was for some other playground. Yeah, there was a previous one, you're correct, but it was for other works. Yeah.
Okay, if you're happy with that. Ascot Park, where are we? Mullawirra? That's just what I was thinking. Would any of the ward councillors like to move the motion? Councillor Blescu? Councillor Clancy, would you like to second? Fantastic. We're knocking them down. All in favour, raise your hands. That's carried unanimously, thank you. Now we're dealing with the Marion Sports and Community Club. Landlord consent for the fence around the oval. I was a bit scared when I looked at the map initially because that red line went right around it, blocked everyone everywhere. But this is just for a replacement of the existing outer ring of the trotting track. It's the inner ring of what we call the trotting track around the edge of the oval. Blue line motion, Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. If there are no questions, I put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. Now we go towards the end of the agenda. Page 229. So I think members are aware of the genesis of this, the tragic events in Christchurch just over a week ago. The notion is that we have a gathering where people can express goodwill. I did speak at the mosque the Sunday immediately after the event, and it was quite striking the number of members of the community who attended because they had a very strong feeling in their heart to express goodwill and compassion toward the Muslim community that we have here. So the idea is a relatively low-cost event. One suspects the budget's on the high side, but you have to put a maximum somewhere. I've had some detailed discussions with staff about how we can minimise that cost. And there have been discussions with the local Islamic society. They're happy with the concept, the way we're heading with it. So would someone like to move? Councillor Masika?
Through the chair, I'd like to move the motion as it's printed.
Yes, please speak to it if you wish.
Yes, I say it's a very good idea because Christchurch, where the tragedy took place, is a sister city of Adelaide. And also we find that by Mandurah Council hosting up this event will be showing a very good leadership and also having direct connection with our residents to show that we care. We do understand that there are about 2,000 people of Islamic faith, and also these are migrants, which the event in which took place in Christchurch is affecting us all. So it will be a very good idea for the council to host up this function. And I would like to propose that instead of doing up the end of the month on 31st, the event to take place on the Sunday, 7th of April, because it will be enough notice to let the members of the community know. On 31st is too short, and notice, and most of all, people of a cold background like myself who have other activities on the weekend. So having a prolonged notice, at least it can help us to schedule our calendar to be able to attend the event. And the other things which I wanted to suggest, I understand that the council wanted the people to bring their own salads, but I was worried with the public health concern because people, they make things from home. We don't understand how they're being made. Contamination can be a possibility. And this being a council event, it will be held responsible in case of any outbreak. So I was going to suggest, and looking up for the 11,000 which is committed to do that, the council can be able to supply the salads with that amount of money without having more extra funds from there, so that we are sure that the food which is supplied is made to the standard, because it will be provided by the source which we trust and which can be verified and also can have public liability insurance if anything goes wrong.
Thank you, Councillor. Can I just ask you a couple of questions? So at the moment you've talked about the motion as it's printed. In respect of the date, they're looking at the calendar, there were a number of issues and it may not be feasible to do this until possibly after Easter if we don't do it on the 31st, just because of another number of various conflicting commitments. It is short notice, but it was intended that most of the publicity be through social media and also contacting schools and churches, for example, service clubs that might be likely to attend. Does that help you with your comments about the date?
But looking up myself, that we did, because today is 27th, 31st, that means
it's next Sunday.
It's only 5 days. So by that time, the notice reaches everyone. People have already made up their commitment somewhere else. And that was my worry. But if we can be able to reach up people as of tonight and tomorrow, that we can be all right. We can be able to be there. But if we will take another 2 or 3 days, to convey the message, that means it will be too late for others to attend.
Would you like to hear from Mr. Clark, our communications officer, about that?
Absolutely.
I know that staff have already made some contingency plans if the motion is in fact passed. Mr. Clark. Something more, Councillor Masika, to that?
Through the chair, the information being provided, so long that there's been a contact, so I hope that all of us, we can be able to fit in.
I mean, the issue, if anything, may be getting too many people rather than too few. But the other point about the bring a plate of salad idea, I think the concept was that it's a very Australian thing to do, to bring something to the event. And I sense the feeling in a lot of the community that they would like to give something quite actively, and providing food for the event would achieve that. On the other hand, I can't entirely dismiss those public health concerns. So maybe the best thing to do would be to deal with the motion and then come back to that issue of a very specific issue of who provides the food. So let's come back to it as a separate point, but we'll deal with the principle first. Councillor Pfeiffer?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, I'll happily second this. Look, I was at the vigil on Sunday night. In my 8 years on council, it's probably the most moving event that I've been to. The speeches, including your own and the other dignitaries, were phenomenal. It was a truly horrific event that occurred, and I think it is, at a time like this, it's incumbent on us to really do whatever we can to pull the whole community, Islamic and non-Islamic, everyone, together, and to sit down and break bread, and I think this is a fantastic way of doing it.
Right. Question or speaking against, Councillor Hull?
Question, Mr. Mayor. Security. Mosques all around Australia have had their security reviewed after this, and for good reason. Will we actually have a security assessment done of this event? Because wherever
I can answer that briefly. It has already been done, because staff understood that if this motion was going to be passed tonight, they'd have to move very quickly. Without detailing all of the security provision, it's anticipated that within the budget there'd be security, private security, attending to ensure that the event was safe. And SAPOL have already been alerted to the fact that there's a possibility of an event on Sunday night, so their advice has been sought.
Just in regards to security, to be taken on notice, has there been any collaboration with the mosque and this council in regards to what we might be able to do, be it as an infrastructure gesture or any other gesture, to make these people feel safe with the mosque in regards to security?
Yes, I've spoken directly with the Islamic Society leadership on that point, and I've expressed their query about additional security to the highest levels of state government, but it's not something which should be raised publicly. It's just something that needs to be taken in hand.
Well, that's right. You take it on notice. This council has actually expressed a desire to make sure that they do feel safe.
Thank you. Anyone questions, Councillor Blescu?
Make a donation to a charity, not necessarily a specific charity, but donate to charity. And I think it runs in the spirit during Ramadan, where it's actually encouraged that people do make donations, and the spirit of philanthropy is actually anonymous. The dignity in giving is anonymous. So maybe that's something we can consider, not saying, support this charity or give to anything, but maybe, in lieu of that, if you want to give, support it, one of your local charities.
Having had discussions with staff around that, something I've suggested is a series of blank sheets of paper upon which people attending could write or draw messages, and that could then be provided as a condolence book to the local Islamic Society. So that's trying to capture that same idea that you're thinking of, I think, the idea of conveying something to the community. Any other questions? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Now, I think rather than the need for a council motion, because all of the details staff are going to take, they will roll out the details, but could I ask for a suspension of standing orders? Councillor Valescu, thank you, to move. and seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. I'm aware that we're over time, but this is supplementary to the motion we've just passed. Can we just deal informally with the question of food provision? Can I just have a show of hands? Who thinks it should be bring a plate, so to speak, and who thinks that it should be council provision of the salad and vegetarian food within that stated budget? Yes? Yeah, it's already factored in that halal meat would be provided, and the local Islamic community suggested leave halal out of the language because they don't want it to be identified as, I suppose, an Islamic event or something like that. They've had some negative reaction to food and events when it's been described in that way, even though, of course, council would be sensitive to their needs. So, bring a plate or council provision. Can I just have a show of hands? Who's bring a plate? Council provision? Right. So, I think the challenge then, Mr. Scull, is to do that within budget.
Through the Chair, I'm not concerned about that. Certainly our environmental health people would have concerns about the cleanliness of people preparing food and actually exposing people to nuts, etc. We talked about providing some signs to say that, you know, this salad could contain nuts, but I'm more comfortable, and I agree with Councillor Masika in what you just decided.
Right, it's the same safe option. While we have the standing order suspended, we're also going to be after quite a number of volunteers. We don't literally want to employ dozens of council staff for the evening, and I'm sure there'll be some community volunteers, but would people like to just put up their hand if they think they can be there Sunday night to help cook a barbecue or hand out plates or whatever? All right, thanks. Just gives me an indication. And we might follow that up with an email during the week. Okay. Was there anything else that staff wanted to know just while we're finishing that discussion?
Just to let everyone know, if I can, that we will have to pay for the outdoor staff who we use to set up and take down on these events. And that's part of the EB. But I'll be going out to staff, and I've even canvassed a few people already to ask for volunteers, but not with the expectation that they'll be getting toil. This is not the event where you would expect staff to get paid. And I'll be asking them to show their heart, and I know we'll get them. And I think... so just for your information, but there will be, I think we're talking about 8 people from the outside workforce who will get overtime.
Mr. Mayor, could I just ask that our toilets down there are appropriately stocked with toilet roll?
Yes,
the last time the Muslim community worked with us, they were subjected to a lack of provisions. That's with the National Tree Day planting.
So I know that a fairly detailed event plan's being drawn up, right down to the last sheet. So,
add to that.
The kiosk kitchen be utilised for food preparation?
Today and...
I think the other details can probably be left to staff. Thank you for the suggestions. I now resume standing orders, and we go back to the CVU High School Community Facilities option on page 169. So I understand staff have been working on an alternative motion. And hopefully it'll be feasible to put it up on the screen. Councillor Pryor? This will be the last item of the evening. There you go. Make that a little bit bigger. Oh, being put into the minutes. Oh, looks like our new minute system is working pretty well. So I'll just give elected members a moment to read that. Just one suggestion straight off. Instead of clubroom, could we have facility? Because the very nature of the facility is yet to be determined. In paragraph 2, retain should perhaps be retention. And could I ask Ms Dixon, Council's current commitment of 500,000, that was from the previous Council motion. It would be ideal if there was a reference just so that the reader can understand that. So, and do we need to...
school's commitment of 500k to date, but it's all dependent on, you know, final agreement, so whether it needs to be in there.
So is it actually noting the $500,000 by debt provided council matching funding?
And subject to reaching an agreement.
And that's been done by correspondence?
Yeah.
So no, it's actually, sorry, Ms. Thwaites on the typing there, but no, it's decked. Current, what are they now? DEC?
I think it's CD.
D? Okay. D?
Oh, is it now? Oh, apologies.
So is it DEDU? EDU. Thanks. I could do with a refresher. Thanks.
We'll spell it out.
No, it's EDU. Current commitment. Subject to matching funding of. Or some subject to matching funding by council. No. Excellent. 2.2. Now, this is just a question to management. Do we need to say that we're prepared to make additional funding now, or do we really need to explore those things first? Outcomes, capital project costs, there's still a lot of variables,
Aren't there? Yeah, and that's why Resolution 6, so you come back with a more detailed report around the capital project costs, the whole
and
life
maybe
costs.
That number, sorry to cut you off, Ms Dixon, but at paragraph 1, could we say endorses in principle?
Yeah, that's good.
Because it just makes that a bit clearer that it is subject to a few other things to be resolved. Councillor Crossan, you had a suggestion?
I think that's my understanding, that's a cap. We can't,
In that case, I'm happy with a million.
In the final minutes, we can put the actual program so it's clear what the funding, if that's helpful.
All right. looks good. Moved, Councillor Hutchinson. Seconded, Councillor Telfer. Is it? Well, in seconding the motion, do you wish to express that?
I'd still be very keen that we look at storage, individual storage. That's always been very... means that you have one big storage room that doesn't function. I'm still really keen to reiterate the car park. Like, I just don't want to take what's come from the school as given. I still want to... in the ward briefing say, just reiterate and look at those, but that's the structure within which I'm prepared to walk.
I think the, just commenting from the chair for clarification, that I think that wording is broad enough that the question of parking, details of the facility, etc., can be reviewed along the way, so we have several months to do that. Anyone speaking against or amending? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you, and I declare the meeting closed. Thanks, everyone.